everyone. Thanks for joining me in this episode of What's Your Story, where we have conversations with storytellers who've made a powerful impact on pop culture and have truly inspirational stories to share with us. Today, I have with me Kavita Kane, who actually needs no introduction at all. She's an author and a former journalist whose books are based on mythology fiction. And I specifically like this about her books, that her books are based on marginalized characters from mythology. She has released her latest book, Tara Strus. Kavita, welcome to the show.
Hi all, hi everyone, and a very good evening, or let's say, I think just on time for tea, a very good late afternoon, I would rather say. Yeah.
Great. So Kavita, first tell me a little bit about your latest book, Tara Strus.
The latest book, of course, it's on Tara. Now, I think most of the people do not know who Tara is. There's a certain amount of confusion, there's a lot of ignorance also. So Tara was Vali's wife, and then she also became Sugriv's queen. Now Vali and Sugriv were brothers, and this story is basically about these three characters, the two brothers and this girl, and it is located in the Kishkin, which is the land which is currently Hampi and Karnataka. So I think the geographical location and the three characters, both are as dramatic as, you know, vis-a-vis each other. So the story is about these three people, about Tara, when you see that she's shared between the two brothers. Shared, I wouldn't say shared, one after. The whole thing is that she was the woman in the life of both the brothers. So the conflict, the tension, what led to the politics of Kishkin, the arrival, the presence of Ram. I mean, the whole thing, the whole entire story is extremely dramatic. So when I heard about it, I mean, of course, we are familiar with the story, but the thing is, when I heard about it, I said, okay, let me go behind and really go. Let me sort of rewind their story and see what the life of the two brothers were. What was the role the girl played, this girl, woman played in their life. And I think that's what the book is about. It's Tara Strus. I think the Tara Strus, the title says it all. I think that's in her life, how she has to make a deal, you know? Whether it's with the brothers, whether it is the future, not only her future, the future of the kingdom, the people, the land she lives in and she loves.
Right. Fantastic. So I want to ask you, like, how do you narrow in on these characters? Like, when you decide to write a book, how do you, mm-hmm. Is there any decision-making? What is the decision-making actually involved in, like, narrowing in on one character and then you think, you know, I'm going to explore this? Is there something that's, you know, working?
Yes.
I'm fascinated to know about your process.
Yeah, because honestly, if you see, every character deserves a book. You can easily write a book on every character, because they are enigmatic, they are fascinating. So when I decide to pick and choose, it was basically, this is the criterion that can I write 300 pages on that character. But that is the most important part. And secondly, whether it fascinates me enough to write a 300-page book on it, you know, because I don't want a character where I suddenly I'm sort of stalled and I wonder what I'm going to write later. You know?
Right.
There are some characters which are good for short stories, there's some for novellas and some for novels. So I think that the format and the technique is also very important. These are deciding factors. And essentially this, that whether the character grips me. Now, I'm sorry if you hear this whimpering sound, it's going to be my dog.
Uh-huh.
So now, what do we do about
this? Her name.
Sheik.
Sheik. What's her name?
Sheik. Her name is Sheik.
Ah, okay. I actually wanted to ask you one more question, which I thought was really fascinating when I read, like, you know, your series of books, which is that you kind of give voice to a lot of characters where there's not a lot of attention paid on them. You know, like Tara's point of view is never spoken about in the grand tale of Ramayana. And so as a woman, I've always wondered, what is it that she's going through? So I find that fascinating. So is that a very, like, a very deliberate sort of move on your part, being a woman? Or is it something that, you know, you didn't really think much about and these characters just fascinated you?
I think it started because, you know, they're essentially minor characters. And minor characters tend to get marginalized. So this whole thing of, the thing is, the irony is that we know these characters. We are familiar with them. You know, all the eight characters I've written till now. It's all, we know about them. But no, in a very cursory way, I am more interested in, for example, let's say Saraswati, my last book. Now it's something like Saraswati. We know about the goddess Shiva. She is one of the three devis. Because she's the first, that was the first book I wrote on a goddess herself. But I think out of the three, I think she's the most neglected goddess. I mean, we only remember her during Saraswati Puja, just before exams. So I think this whole, as a goddess also, I think we have seemed to be marginalized her, where there's more important women definitely to Parvati and Lakshmi. So something like that. It is where we know so much about Sita, but we don't know anything about Urmila. You know, her sister, who had led a parallel life. In the sense, she suffered worse. In the sense, there was the story of Lakshman and Urmila is a story. It's not a love story at all. It's a story of separation and sacrifice. It's a both. He for his brother and she for her sister and for him. So I think this whole these characters whom we know but we don't know much of, you know, in the sense, what is their story? And I think I sort of become their spokesperson where I want to tell them the story. And I think there are characters which have been in the shadows for so long, not part of the main narrative, you know, and the spotlight now is on them. And then they have a voice, they have questions, they want for those questions to be answered. And it's basically a story to tell. So I think whether it was Karna's wife, Urmila, Menaka, Satyavati, Surpanaka, Ahilya, Saraswati, or now Tara, I think the whole, coming back to your first question, I picked on them deliberately, you know, I'll select, they're all highly, with a lot of deliberation, they have been selected. Right. So the idea was to, you know, because I think each of them had a different story to tell, extremely unique. And something which is, more importantly, something which we can identify.
Right.
Because if you say the story of Urmila is a story of separation, which is a very modern problem. Ahilya, of course, is a first story of in love and infidelity, the disappointment in love again. And Satyavati again is a extremely political person, extremely political. And how she's a woman in a completely woman in a man's world of politics. So, you know, so all these people, I think they're very much, all these characters are very much part of our lives also, our daily lives. I just think that we don't recognize them. They're very much there. I think we find a Satyavati or Surpanaka. And Ahilya very much there, Tara very much there in our lives.
Perfect. Do you find writing mythology difficult, especially in, you know, today's current climate where views are very polarized? People have their own opinions about, you know, how these characters should be depicted, talked about. Uh-huh. Do you find this particularly challenging today as opposed to probably when you started writing about them many years ago?
I started exactly 10 years ago. I think, of course, the situation has changed. But I will not underestimate my readers or the audience because I think once, of course, there is certain platform coming from certain people, but I really don't, engage with them because they are commenting without even reading the book. That is there. Secondly, I think, I am not going to change my opinions for this, you know. So I'm going to write what I feel in that. This is how I believe the character is, because of course it's fiction. So I think, as I said earlier, I think I will not underestimate my readers. I think they know what fiction is, what fact is, what falsity is, what sensationalism is. So I try to write the story with as much personal conviction that I can. I think that honesty comes through, and hopefully there is no controversy on it. But of course, so nowadays believe- controversy is also very welcome, because I think that also is a...
Right. So my question is, like, will you attempt to write a character who's probably not marginalized and who probably feel even more, you know, very attached to, like, say, will you attempt to write about Sita, who everyone mm-hmm. seems to have an opinion on nowadays, on, you know, like what happened? And there's a lot of conversation around this.
I might not have written on Sita, but in Sita's sister, definitely, I think I'll cover the controversy which is connected with her. Mm-hmm. And I think the readers took it up. I mean, I argued it out through both my characters, Urmila and Mandavi, the two sisters who are talking about discussing their sister's life. And I think the readers took it, because I don't know if you have read the book, or the conversation, the last conversation between her and Sita, Urmila and Sita herself. So I think how you treat the subject is also very important. Right. What you're writing about, when you know it's already a delicate subject, and it was not that I was going to avoid it. No, definitely not. I was not going to avoid it at all. And in fact, when I wrote Sita Sister, I think the controversy was big time happening with Wendy Doniger. I think that whole controversy about Wendy Doniger was up.
Yeah.
So I discussed it with the publisher, and I was very firm about not omitting it at all. So that was, I mean, that is the story. The whole thing about Lakshman and Sita, that it was a very central part of the character, the entire episode. So, I don't think Sita's sister had any flack on that. Not at all.
Great. Okay, I just want to switch tracks a bit and ask you, what are some of your writing rituals? Is there anything that you do before you start writing? Any, you know, like a favorite pen, paper, spot, or to get into the
superstition? The superstition writers are supposed to have. Yes, I try to either start my book on my birthday or on Saraswati Puja.
Oh, okay. Can you repeat that, Kavita? Okay, let me. Saraswati.
In fact, Saraswati Puja that day, or it's on my birthday. So,
oh wow!
Whichever is fitting in my timeline. So these 2 days, I try to do. And of course, I start the book with Shri, which I think most of us do, the invocation to somebody. Let me see, other superstitions? No, I don't think so. No. Well, writing? No, I don't think so. Because, but these two, I think even more as a discipline, because I think I needed a day to start my work, because otherwise you just think about it and you don't start writing. So I think the moment you start writing, even one para, it becomes the trigger to start the novel itself. So I think I just did that.
So what are you working on currently? What did you start on this year, Saraswati Puja or your birthday?
This book I started on Saraswati Puja.
Yes, okay. Any sure. Future book lined up for the next year?
Yeah. I have already started. I don't know whether it will come out next year. Hopefully so. Definitely started it. What 6 chapters down. And again, yes, it's about a wonderfully fascinating woman, which I think there's so many of them in the epics. So I don't think I have so many to choose from it.
Oh, fantastic. Can't wait. 6 chapters in. Okay. Waiting for it. Okay, great. So Kavita, now the next segment that we have is rapid fire. So I will ask you a question. Don't give it a lot of thought. Just let it be rapid.
Okay.
So first question. The first thing that you do in the morning.
First thing what I do in the morning. Honestly, I do my daughter is a yoga teacher. She has told me that to do a certain stretch exercises while sleeping, you know, toes, stretching your legs and toes. So I think that I've started doing for the past 1 year. So that is definitely the thing I do a lot of. But what I really like to do is just stuff. I have a fabulous room where I get up. So I love really just looking up at the sky and the trees. So I think I love that. Just 1 minute or so of that, I've seen that view sort of sinking for the day. I think that's one of my most moments.
Nice.
Of the day. Definitely.
The book
and
that
then
you're
seeing the, and then seeing the same view. Sorry. And then seeing the same view while sleeping. You know, it's like the same thing in the morning. How it looks in the morning and how it looks in the night.
So it's kind of like symbolic of, you know, like time passed.
Yeah.
Like a
cycle. Yeah. So what are you, you know, it's like what you have done through the day, sort of a reminder.
Thank you for sharing that. The book that you're reading right now.
My own, honestly, because right now I am just reading. Otherwise, which is the book I'm reading? No, I don't think I'm reading any book right now. Honestly, no. But I think I've just finished this whole, I'm in that phase where the whole editing, everything was done and the book was out. So the 2 months I will not read anything. You know, it's like sort of a what do you say, plateau. Right. And then this is the time I actually see a lot of movies. And then again I go back. When I start writing, I really like to write. So for the past 1 month I have not written. So for the past 1 month I have not written.
But
I think the last book was the last book I was reading was I'm sorry to say, but I was reading Homes of Human Bodies. I mean, I must have read it the third time, but I can't resist it. So this is any mom book. So I think I just found it while clearing up the cupboard. Yes, I was clearing up the cupboard during Diwali time. And I said, okay, let me start a mom.
Nice. You said that you watch a lot of movies before you start like that 3 months. So any movie that you watched recently that you really liked?
Every day. I just come back from, I watch Donkey in the morning.
Okay. Great.
Oh, nice movie. It's a grim story, but I think there's a lot of humor, a lot of emotion. And, but yes, actually the story is pretty, it's very grim and very, I think it's about migration and the life of immigrants. So, and this whole thing of visas, you know, how visas are actually being discriminated between the rich and the poor. But there's a lot of thought, definitely a lot of thought, and of course the emotion. It's done nicely. It's a nice movie. It's a very good movie.
Okay. So we'll share that recommendation to all our listeners, the new Hindi movie. Okay. Your favorite mythology character, if you have one. Do you have one?
Mythology character? Yes. Among the male, definitely, I think my favorite character in the epics is Krishna.
Okay.
Because I think he's an extremely complicated, complex character. Very, very complex character. And among the women, I think, it's a rapid fire, right? I think Saraswati.
Nice.
In fact, that was one of the reasons. Because I think, see, there's a lot of enigma. We don't know anything about her. So this whole thing. So I will not say they are like now they will say the character, because even in even if you consider them as gods, like that there's a certain level of reverence when we are talking about them. Even as gods, they are extremely. They are both very unconventional. You know? I think that's what I like about both of them. They were right. In fact, they went against the rules. Both of them.
Outliers. I like that. From the vast mythology that we have. Okay, so if we were to cast for one of your books, okay, let's just let's take your latest book, Darwin's Truths. Who would you cast? Mm-hmm. What actor would you cast? Who would you like to cast
into as Vali Sugriva and Tara? Oh my God!
Yes,
my daughter. They would be better people to do the immediate. Because of course the whole world of this thing is nowadays this thing is I think Ranveer, Vicky, I would definitely as Vali and Sugriv, and Tara, Someone da. I think so. I like someone da, not dusk. Someone dark and dusty, not fair. So I think it would be Deepika.
Nice. Okay. Your favorite travel destination?
Travel destination, Goa.
Goa. Nice.
Goa. Because I think anyway, it's sort of a instant stress buster. But personally, I think in India, I love Kashmir. I really love Kashmir. I've been pining for that place for the past 34 years. I wanted to go for my honeymoon and I happened to do it after 34 years this September. And it is definitely, it's not overrated, but it's definitely the most beautiful place. I've been all over the world, but I think the serenity and the... There's a certain...
Beautiful place. Something
no,
different.
No, it's as if heaven is... Really, a chunk of heaven has come down. You know, it's like the sky and the earth. Something, the heaven and earth seems to meet somewhere.
Lovely.
I think, and it's more pronounced if you go to Ladakh. Ladakh, I think, gives you that spiritual level. Mm-hmm. But Kashmir, when you see it, I mean, it's so pristine and serene and a certain calmness. You feel a certain calmness there. So, and the sheer natural beauty. I mean, when you
nice. What do you do when you're stressed?
When I'm stressed, I stop eating. Honestly.
Oh.
I realize when I'm, not that I'm a great eater, but I really lose appetite. But if I'm really stressed, to control myself, I think to get things in control, I go for a drive. Because I believe that the moment I'm behind the wheel, I feel, okay, I think I might get things in control and sort of think in perspective. Mm-hmm. And see the larger picture and sort of calm myself.
Okay, so now, what do you do? The first person that you call when you have good news, the exact opposite of stressed.
The first person whom I call?
First person that you call when you have good news.
It used to be my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother passed away this year. So otherwise, it's my daughter.
So what do you do when you're on your time off?
Sleep, read, watch movies.
Lovely.
In that order.
In that order. Same for me. Ditto.
I really love to sleep. I believe in that a person should have his 9 hours. So I'm a complete sleep person. I need my afternoon siesta.
Oh, you're an afternoon siesta person. Nice.
I don't know how I managed to work all these years, but somehow I am.
The power naps in the afternoon. You're in a league of, you know, very, like, great people because Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, these are all so, I mean, apparently very famous nappers in the afternoon. So
I don't know. I've heard that with nap. I think this are now. Afternoon nappers have a long life, which I'm not too happy about. I wouldn't want a long life. Definitely, I'm a productive life. A healthy, productive life is better than a long.
Yeah. Okay. That's words to live by 2024, guys. Healthy, productive life. Okay. Your comfort food.
My comfort food, fish curry rice. Fish curry rice with fried fish.
Your dream dinner guest.
My?
Dream dinner guest.
Dream dinner guest.
Could be anyone, like alive, passed away, anyone that you think you want to have like a fantastic conversation with over dinner, over a meal.
I had a crush on Lord Byron. Mm-hmm. I think I still do. So I think Lord Byron definitely.
Nice. Okay. So lastly, Kavita, what words of wisdom would you give to young aspiring writers?
I think to read. Basically, as I said earlier, I think when I write, I read a lot because I think that keeps you, it sort of compares you to what you're writing and what you're reading. I think reading is extremely important because I think you don't realize, but we unconsciously assimilate a lot of it. So I think as a craft, as a technique, as a tool, as a language improvement, in every way, I think reading as the, you know, the power to imagine, that entire scope of imagination. I think reading is essential. I think without reading, you cannot write. So I don't know how much reading the writers do nowadays, but I think I will really tell them to read. And not to give up reading, you know, because reading is the first thing which is given up nowadays, because we are leading extremely, not only stressed life, this whole thing of picking up a book and reading and getting transported into the world, whether it's fiction or non-fiction, has become an effort in itself. So there are easier things to do than just, you know, it's like, especially with the OTT on, you know, or with a phone in your hand, you can just go through reels, you can go through the serials or whatever. That's more ready entertainment, easy entertainment. But I think with books, it takes an effort. But that effort is important. So I think for writers, I think that they should not let go of that. I think that's a very sacred thing.
Right. So on that note, Kavita, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate the time that you've taken to have this conversation. Thank you very much, Kavita, and I wish you all the best with your latest book and a very, very good and prosperous 2024.
Thank you very much, and a very happy new year. And it started, the year was a good end, and I think how happy it would be, I think it all depends on you. And all the readers, I hope you like my book, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one will come. Thank you very much.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you, Kavita.